Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and today our special guest is David Kittle. David is the Senior Director of Industry Relations for IMARC, a fraud investigation company located in Santa Ana. He manages IMARC's Washington, D.C. office. He is the past chairman of MBA's Political Action Committee, MORPAC, and former vice chairman of MBA's Residential Board of Governors. He also served on MBA's Board of Directors from 2004 through 2010. And David is the past chairman of Mortgage Bankers Association in Washington, D.C., completing his term in October 2009. David, welcome to our show.
Hi, Bruce. Thank you for having me back. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, we really enjoyed that night you joined us at that event at the Nixon Library. You definitely kind of raised the bar, and we thought were amongst the most honest and forthright panelists we ever had, and that was an exciting night, so we appreciate that.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it. That was the highlight of my year as chairman, and I go back and do that tape every once in a while. It actually was very, very engaging.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, fraud, I guess I was thinking, and we had just talked briefly off air, I guess I thought maybe fraud would be more prevalent during an upswing where people were really anxious to get in on the potential profit. But you mentioned that just the nature of how hard it is to get a loan, fraud is apparently still alive and well.
Yes, unfortunately it is. The more paperwork or regulation you create, and we've certainly done that with Dodd-Frank and the CFPB, the harder it is to get a loan, even for people with good credit. So as far as housing goes right now, that particular environment, it's on the increase. And we find most of the fraud being created in the employment and the income space.
Okay. And where does the idea say, hey, let's do this instead of what's right? Because, I mean, I don't know that very many occupant owners dream that one up.
Well, it is predicated, again, by an unscrupulous lender or a loan officer, and might have, as it always has been, maybe an appraiser or a title agent, you know, closing fraud at the table, a manipulated HUD one. Still, that happens way too often. And the marketplace is developing some very good checks for those right now. Not only does IMARC do, you know, the fraud investigation, but we pivoted at the end of 2011, and we now do quality control and compliance for our lenders and banks out there. So we're in all aspects of it right now.
When you find fraud, is it more often on a fairly large scale done by, let's say, a company multiple, you know, many times over, rather than a one-off situation?
Well, may I tell you a personal story?
Okay.
3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, my family and I relocated to Pennsylvania. We bought a house in a 21-home community. It wasn't gated, but it was near a golf course. Okay. We were not told that three of the houses were in foreclosure, and one of them was by the builder/minister that had built it.
Okay.
So there were straw borrowers on these homes, and I tell this story in January's monthly edition of MBA Magazine on personal responsibility. And my wife and I actually lost 100% of our equity when we sold the house. We didn't walk away from it. We wrote a check closed to move back to our home in Kentucky last May. And so that mortgage fraud is still prevalent today, and it happened to not me personally, but it happened in my subdivision. So 25% of the homes had fraud committed on them on one street.
And so sort of there was a ringleader who happened to be a mayor and got people that he knew to cooperate with what they thought was probably a profitable venture, not maybe even truly aware that they were committing fraud.
I think everybody knows their gut instinct, but yes, it was part of his flock, as you were, and I think they were promised X number of dollars if they would sign certain documents, and then the houses would be flipped. But we rolled into the mortgage meltdown and when this started, and they got caught, and he finally got caught, and I think he actually went to prison about 11 months ago.
Okay.
Well,
You know, there's a bad phrase that people use when they're trying to induce you to do something that it doesn't feel right, and it's everyone's doing it. I remember.
I agree with that.
Pardon me. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I talked over you. I totally agree with that. Go ahead.
One personal story, probably 23 or 4 years old, we had bought our first residence and we got a chance to buy a rental. And as I was signing the loan docs with FHA, it was FHA owned property, I noticed that there was a box check that said I was going to occupy the home. And I looked at the agent. I said, you know, I'm going to use this as a rental. And she said, oh, they checked the wrong box. She said, that happens sometimes. Go ahead and sign it and I'll get it corrected. Well, you know, I mean, honestly, I'm so green, I don't think anything of it. And about 3 months later, my wife calls me at work and says, the FBI just came to our door and read me my rights. And that was stemming from me signing something saying I was going to live in a house when I didn't. And yet it stemmed from somebody that had that as an MO. In other words, it's okay. And we didn't even have the discussion that everyone was doing it. It was that it was a mistake. Years later, when I was leaving California with some equities and going to other states paying cash for properties, there was a mortgage lender that was helping people. And I had one transaction where I was actually going to get a loan, and the loan took a long time. And finally, the documents came, and I looked at the application. It wasn't my stuff at all. And I called her on it, and she said, well, yours was just too confusing, and so we just simplified it. We do that for all our clients.
Yeah, and you are describing what still takes place today. You know, when a title insurance company gives the insured closing letter to cover the closing agent, you know, they're basically saying they're going to do the right thing. But that's what I mentioned a few minutes ago, that fraud at the closing by the closing agent, a misrepresented HUD-1 or a switched HUD-1, or where the borrower, as in your case, was encouraged just to sign it, we'll fix it later, and then they don't do it. That still happens all the time, and we all still pay for it.
And how is it that we end up paying for it? Just the disappearance of potential financing programs, or in actual losses that we all share in, that type of thing?
Well, I think if I answered it in one little group here, it would be we're all paying for it now by Dodd-Frank.
Yeah.
And, you know, 1,000 pages worth of regulations on top of regulations that they didn't go through and weed through to see what worked and what didn't work. That and then the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which has come out of Dodd-Frank, and lenders are terrified. You know, I'm quite happy to say that I don't own my own mortgage company anymore right now, because I wouldn't want to be in the lending business today. I'm glad I'm on the other side of it.
When you say they're terrified, is that because of what they don't know as opposed to what they do know? In other words, is there uncertainty about what is Dodd-Frank in its final form?
Well, they don't know yet because they all haven't been written, so you're spot on. The uncertainty, unknowing of what is a qualified mortgage, loan officer compensation has not been decided. You got Basel III, which is some servicing issues calculations. What can you do with loan officer comp? What happens when I was on a call earlier today with one of our clients, and they were concerned whether doing a lender-funded loan where they give you some assist on the lending, if you get to the closing and the dollars don't match exactly, what happens? Do they have to write down the principal? And if they write down the principal or apply the money to the principal, then the loan value may be different from the investor they're selling it to. And it used to be you could make these adjustments where 99% of us were all credible and doing the right thing. But now the CFPB or HUD can come in and absolutely shut your doors because of some unintended mistake like that. So it is the uncertainty.
Okay. And I noticed just yesterday, and just driving around, listening to a radio spot where I think it was Citibank was laying off people from the lending side of their business. And it struck me, I wonder if they think business isn't going to be there, or they don't want the business that is there.
Well, can I quote you a little bit of an economic forecast and some production number forecast?
Sure.
This is from the Mortgage Bankers Association, so it's out there, it's public knowledge. But first of all, if we want to solve for what's going on in the country, this is certainly not, you know, my epiphany today, but here we are, we've got to solve for jobs. And we're looking at it today in the first quarter. We're at 7.8, 7.9 unemployment rate.
Right.
The MBA's forecast is through the third quarter of 2014, it won't be any lower than 7.1. And that is still way too high and unacceptable for any markedly wonderful recovery to take place. But to your point about lending, their forecast for originations, and your listeners should pay close attention to this because MBA statistics are pretty spot on from year to year. They really do their due diligence very well. We're looking at $1.75 trillion in originations in 2012. That's what we did last year. The forecast for 2013 is for that to fall to right under $1.4 trillion, and then in 2014 to fall all the way down to just $1 trillion in originations.
Wow.
Now, numbers inside, yeah, that's a significant drop. The numbers inside that are the good news for realtors and for builders is that where you had $500 billion in purchases in 2012, that's forecast to increase to $709 billion in 2014. Where the number drops is in the refinance, and that's because rates are predicted, and they will rise, and they predict those interest rates to go all the way up to third in 2014 to 4.5%. Now, you and I have been around a while.
Yeah, that still doesn't sound too ugly.
Oh, it sounds great, but, you know, increasing interest rates now will turn off the refinance faucet. When I got in the business back in the late 70s, I remember, you know, feeding my family at 17.5% on FHA loans.
Yep.
So when you compare that to 4.5, it's pretty darn good.
I actually got one of those loans, to be honest with you, exactly that interest rate. I refied my house to become an investor in 1981, and that happened to be the rate. And then it went up after that
It did. The highest it ever got was 18.5%.
Yeah, for a guy that has good timing, that wasn't the best timing for a refi. When I refied it at 12 about a year and a half later, I just thought, wow, what a deal.
And actually it was. You saved a lot of money.
Yeah.
Look at MBA's forecast here, Bruce. Unemployment is to remain higher than it should, above 7%, and originations to actually fall by $700 billion from 2012 to 2014. Well, so that is not a good forecast.
Now, when you say originations, that's including the family of refis. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay. Now, what you're saying right there is just a short-term trend, but really if we go on a direction for a long period of time where interest rates gradually climb back up, that will not be unusual for people to keep their 3.5 mortgage versus a 4.5 or 5.5 or whatever. In other words, that could become more normal than what we've enjoyed since 1981 is a gradual decline over a long period of time. Would that be an accurate statement?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's got to go up high and then have it come back down for you to have improvement in rates, which is what you're saying. But, you know, the servicing values for people that service, these loans will now most likely, as long as people remain employed, stay on the books longer because they have a more attractive interest rate. That's why refinances have been so high. People are refinancing, staying in their homes, and doing some remodeling work. So there's pros and cons to it. There's a lot of cash to it where people are saving, but people are still worried and scared. This is my opinion, not MBA's. The job market, the economy out there, is just not getting any better. Now, there were positive numbers for existing home sales and new home sales. What was it yesterday? And I'm just going to draw from memory. Was it up 15.6%? Maybe that was the number.
Okay.
But my response would be up 15% from what?
Yeah, from what?
And that's from being down a lot.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's up, but it's still not back where it should be.
Yeah, the Riverside market really, as far as the job market, really doesn't heal until the construction starts. And we're probably, well, I can just tell you, the optimism of the guy that creates the subdivisions isn't there. Subdivisions are down 95% from normal.
They can't get a development loan.
Well, and not only that, it doesn't pencil because prices got damaged so bad. So, you know, it's almost a two-stage thing. You have to have price increases. And, you know, you mentioned that now you're in Kentucky right now. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. What would you say is happening as far as inflation of prices where you are?
Well, the market in Kentucky and the Midwest never goes straight up and never goes straight down. It's really pretty calm. So we haven't had the big market fluctuations here in Kentucky and Missouri and Tennessee and places like that in the heartland. You find the big swings in Pennsylvania, California, obviously Florida, and Nevada and Arizona, the sand states, where all the mortgage fraud took place. But the Midwest is actually pretty good right now. North Carolina is a wonderful market right now. So geographic areas are coming back rather strong.
The reason I kind of asked the question is that interest rates in general are a national picture. So I haven't read this report yet, but I'm going to over the weekend, and it has to do with GDP growth that's projected. And it's not a very good picture, and that's why you're not solving the unemployment. But it would probably also keep interest rates down. In California, we have markets now that are accelerating 3% and 4% a month in price. So in a way, there's pockets of California that really don't need a 3.5% mortgage rate, but we have one. And how long we have it is more of a national decision than it is our local market. Is that accurate to say?
It is. Let me go to something you just said. I have MBA also forecast GDP. So they are forecasting first quarter of 13 at 1.9, the second quarter down to 1.8, third quarter of this year up to 2.4, and in the fourth quarter of 2.3, and to remain no higher than 2.6 through the entire year of 2014. That's okay growth. That is not spectacular, and that's not the type of growth that brings you out of a recession.
Or allows you to say, okay, I feel comfortable now, I can raise interest rates.
That's exactly right. That's why rates are going to remain low.
Okay.
And you still have Bernanke out there that is going to continue to fund the marketplace. There's no private capital in the market right now. You've got the Federal Reserve buying mortgage-backed securities. If they ever turn off the faucet, then we would be in deep trouble.
Well, let's talk about that, because isn't that an eventuality that has to occur?
It is, and there are a couple of Fed governors that I think in their last month's report were getting to a point where they wanted to see it start shutting down. So if Bernanke continues to buy MBS and there's no private capital coming back in, where does the liquidity come from? And that's the real problem. You have a couple of mortgage-backed securities being done out there by a California company, I think Redwood Trust. The problem with their security is, for the total market, is that those are jumbo loans, very low LTVs, and very, very high credit scores. You know, kudos to them for getting that security out there, but that's not prevalent where the market is. That's a very small percentage of the market. The rest of the loans, people with low to moderate credit scores and higher LTVs, will have no liquidity if Ben Bernanke turns off the faucet.
As a percentage of the body of loans, if you will, has government participation, whether it be Fannie, Freddie, and FHA, has it ever been this high before, as far as we're relying on them funding almost everything?
It's never been this high. Not only are they buying it, but I mean, the Federal Reserve has never stepped in and had to purchase mortgage-backed securities anymore. I mean, they've bought well over now $1 trillion of loans. That's just unprecedented. That's not what the Federal Reserve was set up to do. That was has been a decision, made by the administration and Ben Bernanke.
When you've testified in front of Congress, and you've done that over a dozen times, what was the first year you did that?
2007. The preponderance of them were done over, I did 14 total, and most of them were done between 2008 and 2009.
Okay. And so during that stretch, I mean, everybody was obviously very concerned about what was going to happen. And I guess one of my questions is I've watched a few of the testimonies from people in our industry, and I just got the sense that the audience was either incapable of grasping much of what was being said, or they were really not interested because they had already had predetermined ideas of how they were going to feel anyway. When you got done testifying, I just wondered what sense you had when you left.
personally?
Yeah.
Well, I have, you know, out of the, they were all things that I enjoyed doing. I enjoyed delivering the message for the members, and I enjoyed being there and representing our members and fighting for certain issues. Every chairman of MBA has an issue that confronts them. Mine happened to be that year bankruptcy cram-down, where they wanted to force servicers and lenders to cram down the interest rates, lower the interest rates, and give away the principal. They're backdooring that right now, by the way, through other government programs. But specific to your question, there were a couple that were very contentious. My opinion was always, and it's accurate, is this is broad brush, that most of the congressmen and senators that were asking you questions got a question to ask you from their aide 5 minutes before it was asked. They probably hadn't done a lot of research on the question itself, and when they got the answer, I'm not sure they understood it.
Yeah.
And then these are the people that are voting on Dodd and Frank. And by the way, I think this is great. Do you know where Chris Dodd is today? You know what he's doing?
No, is he a loan broker?
No, actually, you know, he retired from the Senate because he wasn't going to win re-election, but he's now, at least he was a couple of months ago, I think he still is, president and CEO of the Motion Picture Association of America, making a very healthy seven-figure salary. I just find that very funny. And, of course, you know, Barney Frank is now retired, and we'll see him probably come back and be appointed someplace in the administration. But these are the two guys that, you know, didn't do it right, that didn't always tell it like it was. They got caught up in their own web, and then the most onerous piece of legislation ever, as far as the lending institutions are concerned, is named after them. So.
Well, and just if people don't realize, Barney Frank was the Pied Piper for everything aggressive to get home ownership up.
He was. He was the spokesman for Fannie Mae during all that time, and then, you know, would go later and then deny that he never was, even though it was on tape. So
yeah, I actually watched the tape yesterday just to refresh my memory, so I had that in my head.
Yeah.
Dodd-Frank, what decisions are yet to be made? And we're about 2.5 minutes out.
Okay. They still haven't come out and ruled totally on what a qualified mortgage is. They still haven't ruled totally on loan officer compensation, you know, how it's going to affect and how you can compensate your loan officers. You know, overage has gone away, which it should have. Pricing up a loan to help a borrower should stay. You've got the servicing requirements out there. Servicers still don't know what the rules are going to be as far as servicing, how they have to inform their borrowers, how often, and what has to be in that information when a loan is sold. So there's still a lot of uncertainty, and I've got to say that MBA, you know, I'm not on the board anymore, and so I'm not a paid spokesman for them, but David Stevens, who's our president and CEO, is doing just a fabulous job representing our association and our members. Our board is attuned to what's going on, and there's no finer voice for the lenders out there today than the Mortgage Bankers Association. They're just doing a really good job.
And I think it's at times like this you realize how important representation is, because there were a lot of issues that kind of crossed over to other parts of our real estate industry, the Appraisal Institute, National Association of Realtors, you know, debt forgiveness on forgiven debt, you know, not being taxed. All of those things were certainly items that those were important wins, if you will. That if we didn't come down on the right side of those, we wouldn't have much of a inventory to loan on and not too much of a buyer base that would have survived.
Yeah, the association you're a member of, you need to be involved, because involvement in one's industry is the key to success. That's something my father told me 30 years ago, and he's absolutely right. It is representing us on Capitol Hill, MBA is. I mean, it's out there fighting against all the bad onerous legislation, and when it's representing the members, it's actually representing the consumer at the same time. So we're protecting the consumer from this as well. The consumer is getting hit very hard because of all these regulations. And there was a lot of blame to go around, but you know, the one group that never gets blamed is Congress.
That's right. David, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be talking to you again in our next segment. Thanks again.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.